You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Sunday fun day. Should we call it a fun day? As I'm sure a lot of people are very concerned with this storm heading our way. Hopefully it won't be as severe as some people think. We'll keep you posted. I'm actually trying, good friends with Amy Fries. You see her all over ABC, meteorologist, trying to get her on the show just to kind of give us an update at some point in time in the show. We'll keep you posted. Jordan Renan is going to join us at 9:30. To talk some Giants as they get ready to take on the Cleveland Browns, even though reports are nobody's starting. This is a thing. So apparently no Daniel Jones. A lot of the offensive linemen aren't going to start. We'll see what happens. We'll get the latest from Jordan Renan at 9:30. Also, Michael Fabiano is going to join us on the show at 11 o'clock. I was out at the Northern Trust yesterday, and I had a ton of people pull me aside, introduce themselves, and thank you very much. By the way, it was nice to meet everybody out there and everybody wanting some fantasy football information, which is great. You know me, I love talking fantasy. So Michael Fabiano is going to join us at 11 o'clock, and hopefully we'll get you ready, as I know fantasy football drafts are starting this week, and we'll go all the way through kickoff for that first game, Dallas and the Tampa Bay Bucks. But let's kick off with what happened with the Jets last night. All right, so we know the Packers, they lost 23-14. Zach Wilson, the storyline, 9 of 11, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns. He led 3 scoring drives, so 2 touchdowns, 1 field goal. His QB rating was a 154.7, which is really, really impressive. He had 12 dropbacks. Average yards per attempt was around 11, which was much better than week one, because week one it was only 7. And we talked about it, you know, not a lot of deep throws in week one, definitely more here in week two. Obviously played a much larger time, of course, the first half. Saw really good rhythm, saw great decision making. Again, a really great performance. Tyler Croft, 2 touchdowns. Corey Davis, 4 for 70. So you're seeing the chemistry there. But again, going up against backups. So, you know, I do want to open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. And again, I will say, definitely I am uber impressed. Zach Wilson has absolutely outperformed my expectations so far. However, I am a little apprehensive to put too much weight into the first two preseason games because of this new philosophy from teams, not just the Packers, not just the Giants, but a number of teams, the Chargers, the Rams, a number of teams around the NFL that are not playing starters. Now, it seems to me the teams that are playing starters are ones that you know, are having quarterback competitions. You know, like the Saints, like the Denver Broncos, but also the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger came in and tossed 2 touchdowns yesterday. He looked great. The Miami Dolphins are playing Tua. Tua came in. Tua has looked good. So, you know, I do want to open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776, and I do want to hear from Jets fans. And Ty, I know you're a big Jets fan. I know you watched the game yesterday. I do want to get your thoughts on this. I don't want to sound like a negative Nelly. I'm concerned that we're going to see the tale of two tapes once the regular season starts. And I don't want Jets fans to have unrealistic expectations for Zach Wilson in this team heading into the regular season based on what they've seen in the preseason, right? 800-919-3776. Again, Zach Wilson has outperformed my expectations, even though he's going up against second and third string guys. We had Rob Demoski, who was on the show yesterday, and this is why I'm working and trying to get a Cleveland Browns reporter on the show with us today, because the word is we're not going to see any of the Giants starters. So you've got coaches and general managers that are putting more weight into these two-a-day practices. And Rob said what he did see from Zach Wilson, one series, went 0-4 in regard to a two-minute drill, and then came back in the second series and led a really impressive drive and scored a touchdown. So one series, not so great. The other series, really impressive for Zach Wilson against the Green Bay Packers and a number of their starters. Here's the thing. That's the information I want. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see Zach Wilson against 2 and 3s. I don't. I don't want to see Mac Jones against 2 and 3s. Where's you know, it's evident now. Preseason, and I get it. You got to shelf the teams that have quarterback competitions going on right now, like the Denver Broncos, like the Saints, a number of those teams. You know, there is, I think, a lot that they're able to get from that. But still, are you really making a fair assessment and analysis between Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock when they're going up? So Teddy Bridgewater might come in. He went up against Seattle. Now, I don't know what Seattle did defensively. Now, did they play their starting defensive guys for a series or two? Well, Teddy Bridgewater outperformed Drew Lock yesterday. 105 yards and a touchdown. He led two TD scoring drives. Meanwhile, Drew Lock came in and he led only 3 field goal drives. So, and I said this when the preseason started, I do expect Teddy Bridgewater to win the job. Drew Lock is the quarterback that, you know, you want on your team. You want him quarterbacking when you're like sandlot football and you're out there and, you know, you're playing, but Teddy Bridgewater is the guy that you want when you want somebody you know is going to have a great completion percentage. Folks might not be aware of this. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, top 5 quarterback in the NFL in completion percentage. No bells and whistles. Isn't going to pull an Aaron Rodgers on you. Down by 7, a minute 20 to go, and is going to drive down the field and, you know, no. But what Teddy Bridgewater does is he will get the ball into the hands of playmakers. And the Denver Broncos have several. So I do believe that Teddy's going to win the job in Denver. But nonetheless, you know, obviously preseason games, now we're only down to 3. They benefit teams, I think, for guys that are trying to make, you know, they're on that bubble. They're trying to make the club. Fine. But I don't want to watch that. I don't want to put too much weight in that. I want to see these joint practices. I'd like to see those on the broadcast. You know, whether it's the NFL Network or whether the NFL goes out and does a deal with, you know, all the broadcast partners, ESPN, CBS, NBC, whatever the case. And it was interesting. We had Rob on yesterday and, you know, Rob said, It's really coaches are doing this because they don't want, you know, another thing is, you know, these coaches are friends. Obviously, Robert Saleh, tight with the LaFleur family, you know, they're from the, you know, the Kyle Shanahan tree, that, you know, that's a whole Sean McVay, Robert Saleh, the LaFleur, they all come from the Shanahan camp. In essence, they do have a camp. They teach football. They teach quarterbacks. They're, you know, it's kind of like, oh, the Bill Belichick tree or the Bill Parcells tree, which, by the way, Ty just told me Bill Parcells turns 50 today. So happy birthday, Bill Parcells. You know, there's, you know, we call it the trees, right? Like, you know, coaches who come from this type of philosophy or this type of group. Big reason why the Jets went to Green Bay. They know each other. And again, Rob kind of explained to us, you know, Robert Saleh is going to LaFleur and saying, hey, listen, this is the offense I want you to do. This is the defense we're going to do. What would you like us to do in order for you to better assess your players and what you want to do? And so they're working together and they're keeping it within house where a lot of what they're doing isn't being televised. So the whole thing stinks to me. Unless the NFL comes up with some type of agreement where those joint practices, I would rather, and let's open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. I would rather watch Zach Wilson go up against Green Bay Packers starters in joint practice. I'll watch that every day, all day, twice a day over Zach Wilson going up against backups. The Green Bay Packers defense only started 2 starters and they only played 2 series. Alexander didn't play. Smith didn't play. So again, how much weight are you putting into the preseason for Zach Wilson? And number 2, Do you feel the NFL, if this is going to be the trend, if this is going to be the trend, would you like the NFL to next season implement broadcasting partners to bring us the joint practices? Because I feel like there is more to gain, there is more to watch, it's more intriguing than this crap that we're watching. Let's be honest. I mean, listen, I'm excited for the Giants at 1 o'clock to take on the Cleveland Browns, but none of the starters are playing. What do I care? So I'm working hard here on my cell phone trying to get a Browns reporter on to come and tell us how did the starters look this week in the joint practices against Cleveland? Because that's what matters. How many snaps did Saquon Barkley get? Saquon's not going to play today. We're all sitting here, so many people came up to me yesterday, Anita, should I draft Saquon Barkley in fantasy? Hell no, I wouldn't. But do we really know?
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We go to Justin in Toms River. Justin, welcome in.
Hey, Anita, how are you? Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning, good morning.
I wanted to talk about Zach Wilson and the Jets' defense a little bit. You know, I was definitely impressed with Zach Wilson yesterday. He definitely could see he's progressing. He's picking up the offense, and you can see him moving around the pocket, making all the throws. But the thing I'm really concerned about as a Jets fan is the back end of that defense. You know, the Packers' third-string quarterback came in there and just picked them apart up and down the field. And I think, like I said, with Paul Lawson, I think that's a big loss for that Jets defense. Got totally exposed to the back end of that Jets defense.
Yeah, I talked about it yesterday, and Justin, solid call. You know, Lawson, as we know, out with an Achilles. Also, keep in mind, in 2018, he had an ACL tear. 2014, he had an ACL tear. So, long-term, bigger picture, obviously, this is a dude who can't stay healthy. But also, injury to linebacker Jarrett Davis yesterday because of an ankle. That's got to be a concern, because now you lose your top guy on the defensive line. You lose, you know, arguably, you know, one of your best linebackers, second tier, and then what happens? When you don't have that pass, you know, you're not pressuring the quarterback, you're not getting that pressure in the passing game, then your secondary is exposed, no matter how good they are. You know, teams could have a top five, top three secondary, but if they're not getting pressure on the quarterback, I don't care how good of a corner you are, okay? If your front seven they're not getting pressure on the quarterback, there's only so many seconds you can cover a wide receiver, and you're going to get exposed. Let's go to Bobby in Long Island. Bobby, you're up.
Yes. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning.
I know the genius GM with 15 wins in 3 years doesn't want to play Phil Boomer Love quarterback because if he gets hurt, Gettleman will be gone. But how can you not play a quarterback who was the worst-rated quarterback last year with at least 14 starts and was the leader of the 31st worst offense? How can you not give him any work?
And again, Bobby, appreciate your phone call. Hear me out. It's not that he's not getting work. He's getting a lot of work in these joint practices against the Cleveland Browns. He's getting a lot of work. And what's happening is that coaches and teams are putting more value and more weight into those joint practices than they are in preseason games. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But broadcast them then. Because I'm not like, again, we're going to come back. We're going to get Jordan Renan on. But, you know, Jordan's last column, I read it this morning, no Daniel Jones. Okay. But you know what? I want to see what Daniel Jones did this week in Cleveland against Cleveland's top defense, their starters. I do want to see that. You know, we're being deprived here. Now, the other side can be, well, Anita, you know, these coaches, they don't want that information. You know, they're happy the cameras aren't there. They're happy that, you know, those practices aren't being broadcasted, because, you know, now you've got the Denver Broncos. They have no idea what the Giants are concocting for regular season game one. Okay. If you feel that's more valuable and that's more important than us seeing what's really happening, then what are we doing here? What are we doing?
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I love this song. Oh, man. Old school. I love it.
What I do, Anita. What I do.
Right?
If this sports thing doesn't work out for me.
Is what I do. Oh, I love this song. You're taking me back, Ty. You're taking me back. Anita Marks with you on this Sunday. I know, not such a fun day for a lot of people. I just saw an update. Looks like the storm is hitting Montauk. So more north Long Island, and the path is expected to go up into Boston. So hopefully the Northern Trust, I know we opened up the show 8 to 9 a.m. On the tee, our golf show, and hopefully, you know, the Northern Trust could get that fourth round in tomorrow. And the more that this storm goes northeast, get your directions down, Anita, the better it is for the Northern Trust, and then be able to hopefully not have such a, damage to the course where they can get their round in on Monday. We'll see what happens. By the way, this portion of the show, 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew Irish whiskey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at the top of the hour, we've got Nathan Zagura, who's going to be joining us. He's part of the Browns broadcast crew, and so I'm excited to get him on to find out exactly what this Giants team and what these players do look like against first-team players on the opposite side, of course, the Cleveland Browns. So we'll have him on momentarily, 800-919-3776. Also, we've got Michael Fabiano, who's going to be joining us at 11 o'clock. We'll talk some fantasy football as well, and we'll continue with your calls, 800-919-3776. Ty, I do want to bring you in here really quick. I mean, for somebody who's a Jets fan, right, who, obviously you want a true and real assessment in regard to Zach Wilson, because you want to have realistic expectations for Zach Wilson and this Jets team as you get closer to regular season game one. I'm just curious, like, and I want to open the phone lines. I'd like to hear from Jets fans, like, how do you feel right now? Like, it's got to be a mixed bag of emotions, in my opinion, because A, you've got to feel really good about what you've seen from Zach Wilson, right? 9 of 11, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns, led 3 scoring drives. Pro Football Focus gave him a 154.7 rating, which is all great, but, you know, at the same time, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, are you really getting the true assessment of Zach Wilson, considering the Green Bay Packers only started 2 starters on the defensive side of the ball last night, and those 2 starters only played 2 series? Like, where do you sit with all this as a Jets fan?
And neither of those starters was Aaron Rodgers. He watched this game from the sidelines, and then after, he told reporters he can throw the heck out of it. That was Aaron Rodgers talking about Zach Wilson, who, you know, he had high praise for Wilson, looked up to Rodgers. It's funny. So you go through all the stories about the joint practices. Zach Wilson, when Aaron Rodgers made his debut, I believe was 6 years old, which is crazy. So seeing that yesterday, seeing one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, you know, have that level of praise for Wilson makes you feel good. Now, what does it mean in the end? It's the preseason. You guys aren't playing. The Packers, as you mentioned, played 2 starters yesterday. So what would be the biggest story? Like, if Wilson went out there and stunk yesterday, or if he played well like he did, the bigger story would be if he stunk. He's expected to play well against backups. If he's not, then that would be a reason for concern. But I'm optimistic. If you're a Jet fan, you're looking at any reason to have some hope. Your team's missed the playoffs 11 straight seasons, which is tough to do. So once you get a guy in Zach Wilson, who a lot of people are high on, Dan Orlovsky's tweeting about him yesterday, you know, about his precision and his decision making. So you're looking for any reason to be optimistic, and what you saw yesterday gives you reason to do so.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click,
Click, Click, Click,
or Don't. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
Again, a fun way, we take our tour around our wide, wide world of sport and find out what is trending at 10:37 a.m. on this Sunday morning. Ty's producing the show. He leads the way with the headlines. Ty, what you got?
Tell me how your team's going to beat this one in the series.
Okay, yeah, I'm clicking that.
All right. So the Yankees now, after yesterday's 7-1 victory
woo-hoo!
Over the Minnesota Twins, have now won 9 straight games and 31 of their last 42. They own the Twins, so you're not going to put too much stock into that. But as I mentioned, they've been hot, the hottest team in baseball since July 6th. They're on the verge. They were on the verge of a sweep, unfortunately, because of the storm. This game got rained out today. It's been postponed, and it'll be played later in September. But the Yankees with another victory. Garrett Cole was awesome. Here was Aaron Boone last night when talking about his ace.
I thought he was really good, you know. All 4 pitches were in play for him today, and he used them all effectively. You know, he was pitch efficient. I thought he did a great job. The couple times he got in a jam, and especially the time in the 5th, was the one time he really had to grind through and work hard, but he executed against their 2 best hitters in the big spot, you know, able to get Polanco up above the zone with a really good fastball, and then executes a perfect changeup against Donaldson to get out of it in what were, that's kind of the game right there. And he, it was great to see him just in that big spot execute. But I thought all four pitches were a factor for him today, which was nice.
Garrett Cole in his last 2 games, 15 strikeouts, 1 earned run, 7 hits, and just 2 walks. The Yankees are rolling, but that was not the brightest moment of the game yesterday. That comes to us via FS1.
We move into the bottom of the 8th. This is tattooed down the line, and this is gone! The hometown kid, Andrew Velasquez, born and bred in the Bronx, his first home run in the show.
Fox Sports 1, Andrew Velasquez, what a story for this 27-year-old Bronx native, his first career home run, the 8th inning of that game yesterday in front of his family. We saw a ton of emotions being had in the crowd. The injuries and the COVID situation has allowed some of these other players to come up and get an opportunity. So Andrew Velasquez is taking fully advantage of it. And here was an exchange with the reporter about that home run yesterday.
We saw the celebrations on TV. We saw some family members that looked like they were emotional, crying. Do you feel that emotion on the field, or is this just, hey, you're doing your job?
It would be crying. Probably a different emotion, but like exhilaration, I think. Felt like all the other homers I've ever hit in my life didn't count.
And what were you thinking rounding the bases, Andrew?
Get home as quick as we can, quick as I could, so I could celebrate with the boys in the dugout.
And do you ever ask yourself if, you know, what that next moment could be for you?
No, I'm just trying to take it one day at a time. I mean, right now we're rolling, so we just, you know, one pitch at a time, even just trying to stay in the moment and where my feet are. That way, you know, I don't get lost in everything else that's happening. Plus, we're rolling right now, which is awesome.
Rolling they are. 4 games back of the Rays in the division. And they are +2 in the wild card as they lead the A's and the Red Sox. The Yankees will end the season with 3 games at the stadium against the Rays. So if you can be just, you know, at worst 2 games behind, you go into that final weekend of the season with an opportunity to steal this division, something that looked impossible at one point this season.
It's really unbelievable. Luke Voit, you know, 2 hits, 2 RBIs. You know, we talked about it yesterday. You know, he went to Booney and said, listen, don't take me out. I'm deserving to stay in this lineup. And sure enough, he's been able to perform. As you said, see, the Rays, they won. So now the Yankees, even though they continue to win, and as we said, they've won 9 straight, they're still 4 games back. Here's the thing, Ty. A lot of analysts feel that the Rays are the better team in this division. 800-919-3776. What say you? I'd love to hear from Yankee fans. I think folks are really confident that the Yankees are going to get in as that wild card. They've got a 2-game lead on Oakland as well as Boston. So I do believe Yankees get in as a wild card. But as you said, you know, there's a realistic possibility that they can win the division. We weren't saying that 2 weeks ago.
We were not.
With 4 games back, you know, but, you know, again, you know, how confident are you? I'm looking at the playoff, the FPI percentage possibility of these, you know, the Rays, they've got a 94.9, let's just say 95% probability that they make it to the postseason. The Yankees have 88. Again, because they're 4 games back, I get that, but you know, this is a realistic opportunity that they can attain, and that is winning the American League East. And again, we weren't talking about that a few weeks ago, but how confident are, I guess I'm curious. I want to hear from our listeners. Like, how confident are you that that can happen, considering that, you know, there's a number of analysts in this business who do feel that the Rays have the better team. So I love the caller we had yesterday. You were producing yesterday, who said, you know, he loves watching this Yankees team because it feels like every game is like a playoff game.
It is. Well, when you, because when you put yourself in that much of a hole at the All-Star break, 8 games back in the division, I believe, and it was like four and a half in the wild card. When you're that deep into a hole, you've got to essentially pitch a shutout the rest of the way to have a chance. And the Yankees have answered the bell. They went out there and they acquired Rizzo and Gallo. As I mentioned, Velasquez, you know, he's been sensational. Luis Gil, who was supposed to start today, he's had an impact. So it's coming from everywhere. It's coming from everywhere. That game today rained out, will be replayed, not replayed, will be made up on September 13th. Mm-hmm. But for the Yankees, that's the ending of a homestand where, you know, they didn't lose. But now it's a tough road trip. You got Atlanta for two. You go to Oakland for four. And then you've got the Angels for three games before you come back home to play the Orioles. So it's going to be a tough road trip. Hopefully they can continue to, you know, keep that momentum going.
What else is trending?
Well, the Mets. Speaking of teams who are...
in a bad way.
Speaking of teams who are winning, the Mets are not. And last night, another devastating loss, 4-3 to the Dodgers. It's their eighth loss in 9 games. They were 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. I came across this stat this morning, courtesy of our guy Buster Only on Twitter. He says this and the Mets offense, I mean, all year long they've stunk. But this year against the Dodgers, the Mets are 3-for-47 with runners in scoring position.
Whoa.
I mean, 3-for-47. That is unbelievable.
I think what happens, and we've heard this time and time again, and that is, you know, when you have a team that's reeling, that's struggling, you know, especially guys, they're at the plate, they're pressing. So what's happening? They're swinging at bad pitches. They're seeing that the bases are loaded. I mean, in this game, right? Bases were loaded. What in the fifth, if yep. I recall, and Davis had that strikeout. Mm-hmm. So what's happening? He's like, oh man. Can we win? You know,
start
you're at
press.
The plate. Yeah. Yeah, right, right. You're pressing. Oh, man. Bases loaded. This is on me. You know, like, oh, man, if I knock in 2 runs, we've got a chance to beat the Dodgers. We can change the narrative. Like, and so it's just all this pressure. So you start pressing. You start swinging at bad pitches. And we see it. It's not just the Mets. We see it a lot when teams get in this situation, this scenario. And I think that's what we're seeing here.
Yeah, and so the Mets now, earlier this week, we saw Steve Cohen put out a tweet where he says, it's hard to understand how professional hitters can be this unproductive. Since said tweet, the Mets have responded 1-3 since that tweet. They're now 3 games below 500. They're 6.5 games back of the Braves and that National League East. And it's not looking good for the Amazings, who at one point this season, we thought, you know, fait accompli, they're going to the playoffs. Jacob DeGrom, he's the best pitcher in baseball. The rotation had been performing well. The offense had struggled all season long, but you felt like at some point they could get it going. But it does not look like that's going to be the case. Mets Francisco Lindor did say that Steve Cohen is right to criticize hitting in the tweet. Lindor... hitting 228 this year, 11 home runs, a 702 OPS. He says this, defense, they can't talk to me. Base running, they can't talk to me either. But offensively, yeah, criticize me. Say whatever. You're right. You're all right. I'm with them. I haven't performed. He is injured right now, but when he did play, not good. Not good for the Mets. So
no bueno. No bueno.
Speaking of doing pretty good, though, my guy, Zach Wilson, yesterday, play pretty well.
Is he your guy?
That's my
guy. Are we calling him? Because Mac Jones is my guy. Are we calling Zach Wilson your guy this season?
He's the quarterback of my favorite football team. So
there you go.
He has to be my guy. And yesterday did very well in that role. 9 of 11, two touchdowns, 128 yards, a 154.7 passer rating. Here was his head coach weighing in on the progress of the quarterback.
He's been going through his progressions, and he's been pretty good at that. It's, you know, what you saw today was more of the same of what we're seeing. And I know sometimes the result's not what we want, but his process is light years ahead of what a normal rookie's process will be. You know, for him, it's, again, the good day, the results sometimes will be good, sometimes will be bad. And he's just got to continue to find ways to get better when he sees both.
And he's getting better. He also spent some time chopping it up with Aaron Rodgers this week, was Zach Wilson.
Yeah, you know, when it got brought up between us, it was just really like how that's a natural thing. You know, he had said for me, and I know that's a natural thing for him, is it kind of just happens in a game when you start to have that sense of that instinct of just something in the pocket's closing, you know, maybe a route's not there and you got to be able to get out. And you know, he hit it right on the head of just like, you know, it's going to come natural. It's not something you can really work on. It's what you're, what makes you as a football player. And so the hard stuff is being able to hang in there in the pocket and deliver shots. And so that's really why we work on that. And then the time comes when you get out.
That's Zach Wilson and his conversation with Aaron Rodgers about timing. So 24 hours ago, I was devastated because we get the news that Carl Lawson, who was one of the biggest signings for the Jets, as far as the, you know, off this offseason, one of the biggest signings in recent memory, he tears his Achilles. That's going to compromise their defense significantly. But you feel a little bit better about things. I know it's preseason playing back us, but Zach Wilson looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah. Again, you've got to, and this was the show question I threw out for our listeners, 800-919-3776. And that is, you know, this new philosophy of teams not playing starters. Are you getting a true assessment of Zach Wilson? He has looked great. He has far exceeded expectation for me the first 2 weeks, and I'm thrilled for him, and I'm thrilled for Jets fans. But are we buying too much into it, not really totally understanding that he's not going up against top-notch defensive players when regular season game one rolls around and he has to go on the road and go and take on Carolina in a real game situation with starters? I just, you know, I don't, what can we really realistically expect there? That's my only concern.
As for the Giants, they are back in action today, or sort of. Jordan Renan on the show earlier, he says, don't expect to see too many of the starters out there. But I think, and you would agree, the most important story as we progress toward week one is the availability of Saquon Barkley and if he's going to be ready for that game. It sounds like, according to Jordan, it looks like he will be. Kenny Galladay's working his way back, but the concern now is Kadarius Toney. Is he going to be there? The Giants need their full complement of weapons. So this is going to be a year-long evaluation of Daniel Jones. Got to see if he's the quarterback, and you're just hoping all of the pieces they surrounded him with can start off healthy week one when they take the field.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, we've got Nathan Zagura, who joins us. Good friend. Always great to see you, whether it's at the Combine, the Super Bowl, whatever the case may be. Nathan, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. I appreciate you. How you doing?
I'm great. And Anita, for you, anything. I know it's been too long with everything that's gone on in the world, but we haven't got to see each other. So hopefully we'll get back to those things again, Super Bowls and Combines and all that fun.
Yeah, the Combine is my favorite. I'm sure it is yours as well. I mean, just, you know, how relaxed and laid back all the coaches and the general managers and the coordinators are, and just the wealth of information you get when you attend Indianapolis is just unbelievable. And everybody's there. We kind of, you know, we all get to reconnect. So that's nice. So hopefully I'll see you again at the end of February. That would be nice. But, you know, I wanted to get you on the show because, you know, there's this new trend going on with these joint practices where, you know, that's really where you're getting the nitty gritty. That's where you're getting the good information of a number of these teams like the Jets, like the Giants. You know, we're not going to see a lot of starters today in the preseason game at 1 o'clock against your Cleveland Browns. But I wanted to have you on so you could share with us, what did you see this week at the joint practices? That's really why I wanted to have you on. If you can, kind of share with us, what did you see from Daniel Jones? There's a lot of pressure for him to perform this season. What did you see from him this week, Nathan?
Well, it was really a tale of 2 days, and I'm not sure if that's kind of the sentiment that's made its way back to New York. But the first day, Thursday, the Browns really came out, and I thought were the better team. They were dominant. You know, the Giants came out with a lot of bravado, a lot of trash talk. Of course, our good friend Jabril Peppers was there running his mouth, as he does, which is why he's one of my favorite Browns, and he's a guy I still root for now that he's with the Giants. But I thought on that Thursday, the Browns came out, they were more physical, they were more efficient, they were more effective than the Giants, and including Daniel Jones, struggled a little bit. But then on Friday, they came out and they played with their hair on fire, and I thought the Giants looked very good. And in fact, certainly I think if you said overall the sum of the day, it was a better day for the Giants. They really roared out to a quick start. The Browns kind of came back. But Daniel Jones, look, he throws some great balls, and he and Sterling Shepard, especially on that second day, had great chemistry. Seeing those two, and he looks, you know, it's one of the things when you look at, he doesn't stand out in a negative way. You look at him and go, yeah, that guy looks like a starting NFL quarterback. The ball comes out of his hand nicely. He looked to be in command, and on the second day, especially down in the red zone, the low red zone, he had a very sharp day of practice. So it was a tale of 2 days, and I think that, you know, everybody would say, hey, we just want consistency. But what you saw in the good from Daniel Jones, I thought was very good. And again, it was he and Sterling Shepard that really had a nice connection going that second day.
Again, Nathan Segura joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. He's part of the Cleveland Browns broadcast team. You know, give us some other offensive players that stood out to you. I know that, you know, the Giants are dealing with a lot of injuries. Did Kadarius Toney get any work in this week, by the way?
I did not see him, and I did not see Kenny Golladay. And Kenny Golladay is a guy that I really did want to see out there. But Sterling Shepard stood out. Daniel Jones, Evan Ingram is always a guy who flashes when you see him. And now Saquon didn't participate in team drills, but just getting to see him go and run his routes on air and do some of the individual work, you can tell that that is somebody who has put in a lot of time to get himself back where he needs to be from a physical standpoint. He just looks special. I mean, you see these guys, he looks special. Saquon certainly did look that way. But I would say it was really Sterling Shepard and then Evan Ingram, but Shepard was one of the stars. And, you know, he goes way back with Baker Mayfield, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's in a contract year with the Giants. He's somebody that I think could end up having, you know, they've got a bevy of weapons, but he's a quarterback's best friend. He kind of reminded me, honestly, of Jarvis and what Jarvis brings to the Cleveland Browns, is a guy who works that underneath intermediate game, good route runner, good hands, tenacious at his size. And I would say he probably stood out the most. Evan Ingram was another one because he could see his natural route running ability. And he looks like a receiver out there, much more than a tight end.
What about the defensive side of the ball? Anybody stand out to you? How did this Cleveland Browns offense, this Cleveland Browns team looks good, Nathan. I do want to talk to you about your team in just a second, but how did the Giants' first-team defense look against Baker Mayfield in this club?
All right, you're going to have to help me out. I'm going to give you a number, and then you tell me who that is, 44.
Oh, geez.
On
no,
the defensive line. That guy, 44 and 47.
44
right.
On the defensive line.
They don't
hold on,
put, you know they don't put their names on the jersey?
That, yeah, but come on. That's a Joe Judge thing.
Well, Joe Judge, I cover the Browns. Help me out a little bit. I can just tell you that those were two, and then I do know your secondary. James Bradbury, he is great. Very much looked the part. Had some good battles with Donovan Peoples-Jones and Jarvis. Jabril, who I love to see flying around. I mean, you think about your back end. Of Adoree Jackson, of James Bradbury at the corners, of Jabril and Logan Ryan to safeties. That's a really nice back end quartet that the Giants have. And I thought, while on the first day, the Browns passing attack, Jarvis in particular, was very good, it was really more the tight ends working on the linebackers where the Browns had the majority of their success through the air, and even the running backs on the linebackers. So if I was going to say what was a concern, the linebackers and coverage were a little bit of a concern. Back end solid, and the front. You know, you've got Leonard Williams, you've got Dexter Jackson. I may have messed that name up. But you have the two first-rounders that are on the defensive line, the big guys. And then some of those guys coming off the edge were really flying in this 3-4. 44 and 47. 47 in a couple of the one-on-one drills put running backs on their back like he powerbombed them. And it was kind of stunning to see, to be honest with you. But those two stood out getting around the corners. But the big fellas up front also good. I think when I was just, again, quick observations. I'm focused clearly more on the Browns, but back end and front end of the D looked pretty solid to me. It was more the middle of the defense, at second level, the linebackers that had some trouble. But look, the Browns have excellent tight ends and excellent running back.
Again, Nathan Segura joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. I'm excited to see this Giants defense. I'm excited to see how this division is going to play out. I know a lot of people have the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Adam Schefter came out, and I am going to dive into this hour. Adam Schefter came out with a very interesting comment this week and said he doesn't think that we're going to see 100% Dak Prescott all season long, which leads me to believe that he knows something. The Dallas Cowboys know something, that the shoulder injury is going to be something.
He doesn't dabble
in
speculation.
No, he does not. And so I think the shoulder injury, Nathan, is going to be something that's going to be reoccurring. It's not going to go away all season. I love Washington in this division, but I think that the Giants, yeah, if everybody can stay healthy on the offensive side of the ball, they've got a lot of concerns health-wise. You know, you mentioned Sterling Shepard. He deals with concussions. So we know this is a very physical game. So if everybody can stay healthy on the offensive line, I think the Giants really could compete and possibly win this division, let alone compete and make it in as a wild card. With that being said, let's talk about your – go ahead. You want to say something about the division?
I was going to say, no, I think that I don't disagree with your analysis whatsoever. If you're shaky at quarterback with Dallas, that makes them very shaky. I also love Washington. I think their front four is as good as any front in all of football. And they added Curtis Samuel to the mix. They've got Gibson and Logan Thomas and Terry McLaurin. Fitzmagic's probably a very good quarterback for them. So to run that should give them a little more explosiveness. And then you guys, honestly, I was more impressed than especially the way they played on Friday. You know, going into it, I didn't have a whole lot of expectations. The Browns looked very much like everybody would expect the Browns to look like on Thursday. And not that the Browns played bad on Friday. The Giants just raised their level of play and were a team that looked like, hey, you know, we can match some things. To be fair, though, the Browns' defense didn't. Miles wasn't playing. Clowney wasn't playing. Jack McKinley wasn't there. You didn't have Denzel Ward. Greedy left early on Friday. You didn't have Delpit. You didn't have in the safety room. So you were down some of the guys that are, you know, fairly core to what you do. But nonetheless, I thought the Giants showed a lot, and I think you're right. They should very much be in the mix. It's a division that's wide open, and I think what happens in those six games that they play in the NFC will go a long way to determining what happens for them.
I'm with you. All right, Baker Mayfield, big expectations for him as well this season. A lot of weapons to work with, right? And a lot of eyes on Odell Beckham Jr. How has Odell looked coming off of that ACL injury?
Well, first, Baker is in complete command, and I think, you know, people forget this is the first time in his NFL career he's had the same offense, same offensive play caller, same system, same talent. The Browns are basically running it back on offense that he's ever had. So that command has allowed him, and he's told me, you know, it's just night and day. He's so much more focused now on the details and the finer points as opposed to trying to relearn terminology and plays and style that the coach wants. So they're advanced there. As for Odell, you know, I know he's one of your favorite, one of my favorite guys. I love him. He has come in. He has worked his butt off. And he said something that I thought was very, very interesting at his football camp earlier this summer, and then I'll tell you how he's taken that onto the field. But he said, look, I need to fit into this offense. This offense was great without me last year. I need to fit in, and so I need to run the routes the way they want me to run the routes. I need to be where they want me to be when they want me to be there. And for Odell, you know, he was used to doing a little freelancing. It worked obviously so well with Eli and the Giants. But this offense requires that kind of detail. And so he has yet to participate in team drills, but every day during, you know, some of the special teams periods, he and Baker go, and all he does is run routes, game speed, they simulate game situations, and he is refining his route running to this system's parameters. And there's a lot of optimism. And I would say that not that there wasn't skepticism before, but there was, you know, are we ever going to get to this level where we're really, truly all on the same page, seeing through the same eyes, operating the same? And I think the answer to that is yes. And if that happens, Odell is going to have a very, very productive season. He is in tremendous condition. If you saw him, say there's no way that guy tore his ACL in the middle of the season last year. By the way, that was true in June at minicamp. But I think it's about putting it in, playing within the system, and seeing that if he's where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there, the ball's going to be there too. And he's going to have a lot of opportunity to make big plays.
All right. Before I move on to the defense, Donovan Peoples-Jones. This is a guy that I like sleeper-wise. This is a wide receiver I think that folks can get fantasy-wise, you know, in the later rounds, even maybe like, you know, round 16, round 14, 15, 16, depending on where you get your kicker in your defense. I think he's a huge sleeper. Am I right, Nathan?
So I don't know what his potential production for 2021 is, because if Odell and Jarvis are there, you've got DPJ, who's been the star of camp. I mean, there's no question. He looks like he can become a number one receiver, 6'2", 215, 4'4", 40, 40-inch vertical. He's been beating everybody. As starters, he had one against Bradbury, which that's where I really wanted to watch, and he was not only in one-on-ones, but in team periods as well. he's got all the tools. Yes, you take a sleeper on him. He will need an injury to reach fantasy stardom this year. But if you're in a dynasty league or you're in a keeper league where you get to keep somebody at the round you drafted him in the following season or something like that, first of all, he's in a dynasty league and he's on your waivers. Go pick him up right now. Stop listening to this interview. Go pick him up and put him on your team. Donovan Peoples-Jones will be the top receiver for the Cleveland Browns sometime in the next couple of years.
All right, before we let you go, let's talk about this defense. Could be arguably one of the best, if the not top three defenses in the NFL this season. All the talent that they brought in, not just in agency. I mean, come on. Miles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney as your edge rushers, that's just ridiculous. And what they were able to do in the draft. Talk about this this Cleveland Browns defense.
Yeah, that it has the potential to be very good. And I think, you know, it's going to be how long does it take them to gel? Because due to injuries and due to, you know, various other situations, we really haven't seen this whole defense together very often in camp. It's probably been a couple of weeks. So Miles and Clowney, you love that. You bring in Malik Jackson. Anthony Walker's looked great in the middle linebacker position. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, I don't know if you got a chance to see him in the Browns Jacksonville, was one of the stars of the first week of the preseason period. He looks like an absolute steal, and the guy that everybody said was going to go in the top 15 and kind of showed you why. All over the field, covering slot receivers and man coverage, blitzing, getting a sack, almost blocking a punt, 8 tackles. He was everywhere. And then on the back end, you know, you get Greedy back. You brought in Greg Newsome, who looks tremendous so far in his young rookie career out of Northwestern, the first-round pick. Grant Delpit, although he's battled some things coming back, and then you add in John Johnson. Yeah, on paper, this defense has everything, and it's a defense that you don't want to be behind against, because when you think of being able to rush with Miles, Clowney, Tack McKinley, and Malik Jackson, that's pretty good. Not to mention you have all the cover guys, Troy Hill, who they brought in from the Rams as well. So it looks great. What I would say that jumps out at you if you were to come to Browns Tracks, it's the speed. The speed on the back end, the back seven, is unbelievable. Windows close very quickly. That's what Baker said. He goes, playing against this D, you just realize you have got to be on time and accurate with some velocity because these windows close very, very quickly.
Who are we going to see at 1 o'clock today? Who's starting? Who's not? What can Giants fans expect?
It's going to be the same as what the Browns did down in Jacksonville. So you won't see any of the starters on offense or defense other than, you know, a Greg Newsome, a Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. They may give Andrew Billings some work defensively because he had opted out last year, so to keep getting him back in football shape. It's possible Ronnie Harrison will make his preseason debut. And then on offense, you know, it's going to be Case Keenum at quarterback. It'll be DPJ and Hollywood Higgins at wide receiver. You know, D'Ernest Johnson, Demetric Felton, he's going to play running back this week. So, yeah, it's the second team and the third team, but, you know, if you know Kevin Stefanski's team, it's going to operate smoothly. They had one pre-snap penalty in the entirety of the first preseason game, and so he was very pleased with that operation, and that's what they're going to try to keep going today. But you're not going to see anybody that's going to be playing a prominent role September the 12th against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Nathan, thank you so much. Always great to hear your voice. Hope all's well with you and your beautiful family, and enjoy the game later on this afternoon. I'm sure we'll talk again throughout the season. Thank you, my friend.
You got it.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.